بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are still reading that hadith of Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And just to recap a little, that her child was ill, the child passed away, a little baby. But in spite of that, when the husband came home, she fulfilled the rights of the husband first. And that teaches us to get our priorities in deen correct, and to learn our deen from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and not what we think is deen. So there are many lessons that we have to learn from here. Amongst them, further it is sunnah for a spouse to console his or her partner and lighten their burdens. Whenever there is any problem, then we should try and console one another as husband and wife. And we should not be at the throats of one another and just be fault finding all the time and accusing all the time, etc. And also to lighten the burdens of one another. Like when the husband came home, every father loves his child. The child had passed away, but how she broke the news and how she fulfilled his rights. So much so that she fed him also well, and she dressed herself up, and they had relations also. So this is a great thing to understand the priorities of deen. And we make a lot of mistakes in this, and we regard it as a piety and righteousness, whereas actually it is our actions which are against deen. So to understand deen properly, and for that we have to acquire knowledge, and the knowledge of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, how they had understood deen and how they practiced upon deen. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah had made them the criteria for the deen of Allah ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When the people are told, bring iman, how the Sahaba have brought iman. So then, in other words, Allah Ta'ala has made the Sahaba the criteria of our iman and our deen. And it is not our thinking, it is not our customs or our society, but we have to see the deen, and in there the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before that the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And this was explained to us practically in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Further, it is important to give good names to children. Abdullah and Abdurrahman are the most beloved of names to Allah Ta'ala. This is also a thing that we should think, that as they had named a child and given the child a beautiful name, today we make a lot of mistakes in that also. And we keep names that perhaps have got no meanings, and names of other communities and other societies. So much so that some of the witches, so we don't have the knowledge, and we give our little children, our little girls, the names of the witches also. So it is very, very important that we get an understanding of our deen. Just because the name sounds a bit fancy and it's a bit appealing, the name, and we keep that, the meaning is very important. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, Inna Ahabbal Asma ila Allah. The most beloved names to Allah Ta'ala are Abdullah and Abdurrahman. And then of course there are others also, like the name Muhammad. And for girls also, to keep the names after the great, great woman of Islam, of before also and in Islam, the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the good trend that is coming alive, that names are kept on the names of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So that is also a very good thing. The names of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, or the names of the Sahaba. But in any case, a good name is very important for the newborn child. Spouses should beautify themselves for each other so that happiness and love may remain strong between them. Usually also in the home we take one another for granted, and we don't worry how we speak, how we dress, what our behavior is in front of one another. In front of other people, we will dress properly, we will behave properly, we will watch our language, but in the house, with the wife, we are sometimes very rude, very abrupt, and even the wife sometimes just taking the husband for granted. Now, for example, the husband asks a question, she wouldn't think of replying also. Or she asks a question, the husband doesn't think. This is very important, good relationship between husband and wife. This also we learn from the Sahaba, and here in this instance of Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, and all the Sahaba who are the great criteria of our deen. So good relationships in the house and proper etiquette should also be maintained. And we shouldn't just feel that we are now, we take the wife for granted or the wife takes the husband for granted, and we act very, very in a way that we don't consider one another. In fact, we start hurting the feelings of one another also. So that is also very important. They, however, should not imitate the disbelievers, nor should a woman's beauty become exposed to others besides her husband. This is again another very important point also. Today, if a woman thinks of beautifying herself, it will be in imitation of the non-believers. Whereas Islamic way of beautifying oneself, there is a proper way also, and within those limits of Sharia. But today we want to dress like the kuffar, all our the makeup is like that of the kuffar, everything is like of the kuffar. And yet we may be thinking that I'm dressing for my husband, I'm making myself beautiful for my husband, but I'm using the tariqah of the non-believers. So that is also very important. And as every husband would like his wife to be dressed properly, to be neat, to be presentable, that is for him. Today also a very sad thing, many husbands want that when the wife goes out, she must be dressed up. And so do we want to expose the beauty of the wife to other men and to other people? And with the great curse of the cell phone, how many men put the photos of their wives on there, and even on key rings, etc. And we expose our wives like that, this is not at all permissible. Even if we don't look at it from an Islamic point of view, any husband to expose the beauty of his wife is not at all acceptable. But the husband wants the wife, when we go out somewhere, then she must be dressed very smartly, etc. When she's exposed to other people, and to imitate the way of the non-believers, this is a very, very sad thing. In fact, it is, we should try and analyze ourselves. Perhaps the love of kufr and their lifestyle is still in our hearts. That's why we can't show it in any other way, so we want the wife to dress like that. We want our children to dress like that, the dressing of the non-believers. So perhaps that way of life, that dressing we love, and this is a very, very serious thing, to love anything of the non-believers, so much so that we actually live according to that. This is extremely dangerous. And a woman's beauty should not be displayed at all. How many times we take photos of the woman, of our wives, and if some very sad, sad cases, then the husband even circulates those photos. And to this worst extent, that when she is in a compromising situation in her dressing, the husband takes a photo and then circulates it also. How can a person even think of such a thing? So all these things are very important that we realize that as Muslims who we are, but even just as human beings, to be doing all these things is not at all acceptable. May Allah let us learn all these lessons correctly and bring them in our lives properly. And may Allah we want to live the lives of the non-believers, and then when the consequences come, all the terrible problems that we face, then we wonder what hit us from where. And we want to live lives of Islam, and then we expect to get the fruit of Islam. As it is said, we are planting weeds and we are expecting roses to grow, and this does not happen. If we are planting weeds, we are living the lives of the non-believers and we expect the roses and flowers of Islam, this does not happen. So we have to live an Islamic way of life to get the benefits of Islam. May Allah give us all proper understanding and proper amal.